Good morning, Little Saigon, Seattle, and King County, and the various regions to the east. We should think about them once in a while. Good morning to Idaho. Hello, good morning, Idaho, you fucks. Yeah, what are you guys doing out there in Minnesota, other than having sex with, you know, cougars and giant moose? Good morning to the people of Michigan. I hope some of you are still alive. Good morning to all the folks that live in Mississippi and Georgia and Missabama. I mean Alabama, Mississippi. Good morning to all of you. Good morning. It is Friday, January the 17th, 2020. Almost 10 a.m. here in Seattle, Pacific Standard Time. You know, one might wonder at times what Friday means, but Friday means excitement for some people. Yeah, good morning. Good morning to everybody. Good morning to those at North and South. Good morning to British Columbia, Canada. Fuck you. Good morning to Montreal. Good morning to Ireland and all of the strange folk that live in the bogs. Good morning. It's around 10 a.m. here in Seattle. I must make a note of this because recently a listener reached out to me and took umbrage at my description of human beings as clever monkeys. And so y'all know, I don't really give a shit what the genetic lineage of a human actually is. I'm a Christian, 50% Christian, 50% rational thinker. So yeah, I question a lot of shit, including the crap that the quote-unquote scientists tell me. And since I've studied one or two scientific frauds in my lifetime, especially involving missing links, I would have to say that you got to be careful what you believe, no matter who's telling you it. I don't care if it's a scientist or a fucking theologian. I am clear that we supposedly have mostly our genetic material in common with a chimpanzee, which is an ape. But, you know, I don't totally hate apes, and I don't totally hate chimpanzees. My use of monkey is meant as being derogatory. It's not meant to be scientific. It's rhetorical. Like, when I say clever monkey, I'm trying to make fun of us. I'm making fun of myself, too, yeah. But I will say, if we're applying the concept of duck typing from software engineering, I would say that human beings are one-third tiger, one-third beaver, and the rest is all fucking crazy. Yeah, if you ask me what a human being is, if we ignore genetics and just think about the shit we do, we love to totally reshape the ecosystem. Yeah, that's a beaver thing to do. Very beaver-like. Lots of creatures do that, but beavers and humans, we do some special shit. So we love to reshape the ecosystem. We are like the beaver. And we are also like the Genesis device in The Wrath of Khan. If you've never seen that Star Trek movie from, like, I don't know, 1984, what the fuck? If you saw the movie The Wrath of Khan, you'd know about the Genesis device, and the Genesis device replaces one kind of thing with another. Sort of like, hey, let's say I'm a beaver family. Hey, mom and dad, we gonna move into the valley next door? Well, shit, yes, son, we are. What about the rabbit family that lives at the bottom of the valley? Oh, fuck. I don't think you should talk to them anymore. They're going away. Where are they going to, Daddy Beaver? Well, they're going to rabbit heaven, you fuck. Okay, Daddy Beaver. Okay, son. Yeah, I don't think the beavers give a shit about the rabbit family, just like humans don't give a shit about the shit we do, and to each other, not just nature. So we are beavers, but we're also tigers. I think it's why we like cats so much. Yeah, I've often wondered this, because we like dogs, but we also like cats, and it just makes me wonder. I think we use dogs. I'll be honest with you. I think in the human-dog relationship, I think we're the scumbags. And in the cat-human relationship, we're both scumbags. So it kind of balances out. Like, cats see us as scumbags, we see them as little scumbags. It's a recognized fact. If you die alone in your apartment and you got a cat in there, I'm fairly certain the dog will starve to death before it eats you. I think the cat's just gonna fucking, it's not gonna let you go to waste. That fucking cat will not let you go to waste. Anywho. So, yeah, I say clever monkey a lot, and I do this on purpose because I'm trying to make fun of humans, because I think that we need to be taken down a notch or two. I think we think we're more than what we are. I'm not saying we're not amazing. Holy shit. We're spectacularly amazing. We're really amazing. It's just that we're not really that reflective. Like, we are very abstract, but we're not really very thoughtful. We're really good at reasoning, but we're not very wise. You ever think about that? So you got tiger, you got beaver, and then you got a shitload of crazy. A shitload of crazy in the human spirit. Yeah, a whole bunch of fucking insane in the human spirit. It's what fills up the rest of it. Tiger, beaver, and crazy. That's a human to me. So if you want me to say crazy tiger beaver or clever monkey, I could also just say fucktard, because I think sometimes human beings, including me, we're fucktards. We are unwise, we are unjust, we are irrational, we keep hoping for things that are impossible, and if an idea keeps working, no matter how dangerous, we keep doing it. I mean, here's the idea. We believe in the principle of breakage, which means that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's the human way. It's always been the human way. And for most of human history, we couldn't really break that much. I mean, yeah, the Mayans could fuck with their local ecosystem and create droughts for themselves and die off. Fuck, fuck, fuck. But overall, humans mostly were a danger to themselves. For most of human history, if humans were in danger, it was mostly because they probably did clever monkey bullshit to the point that it no longer made any sense. And they could never stop until it broke. And by the time it breaks, that's called too late. So if you're saying, Dan, we'll fix it when we have to, oh man, that's a clever monkey thing to say. That's a tiger beaver crazy thing to say. We'll fix it when we have to. I'll change the oil when I have to. That's the thing. The only time you have to change your oil, maybe, is when your engine catches fire, and then you pretty much, well, you're fucked. But this is the thing. If you're waiting till you have to do something, you're probably waiting until it explodes. So yeah, I'm so sorry about calling us clever monkeys. Jesus Christ, baby Jesus, have the great, rocket ship brains of the ancient times hurl themselves upon my skull and throw me into the depths of Shambolas. I'm such a fucking scumbag for calling us clever monkeys. Yeah, I'm just kidding. It's Friday, can you believe it? Can you believe it's Friday? The time of letting go. The time of fun in the winter snow. The time of enjoying a little bit of that ice. The time of walnut spice coffee. Thank God it's Friday, right? Next topic. Don't watch the movie Ad Astra. Do not see the movie Ad Astra. I know that you might be a sci-fi person. If you're a sci-fi person, you definitely should not see the movie Ad Astra. It has the cinematic features of a 1960s B movie where all of the characters are obviously suspended by wires, despite the fact that it probably had a huge sci-fi budget, but frankly, I wasn't that fucking impressed. And their visions of the future, their visions of travel, is the same old recycled bullshit. Bigger firecrackers, bigger cans. It's like, holy fuck, if you really think, if you actually believe in space travel, and you really think long term, the way we're gonna get around is bigger firecrackers and bigger cans, I think you're clueless, and I don't think you understand the concept of leverage or the history of technology. The history of technology is not about like bigger firecrackers. The solution to ENIAC, the giant computer that fit inside of a building and probably chewed up more electricity than every smartphone will chew up in the next 5 minutes on planet Earth in a day, or whatever. The point is, the solution to ENIAC was not 10,000 ENIACs. The solution to ENIAC was miniaturization. Holy fuck, Dan, what are you saying? I'm saying you get smarter, not bigger. Although, in an age of complexity like ours, in an age of stupidity, in an age of too big to fail, people actually think bigger, smarter. Look at the weird way the progressive left, especially in the Pacific Northwest, worships China. Like, there's this whole China's gonna take over the world. I better teach my kid Chinese. Blah, blah, blah. But have you ever really meditated on that worship? Because in reality, what they're worshiping is scale. They're worshiping size. They're not really worshiping any principles. They're just worshiping the fact that it's so big it must be smart. Folks, there are lots of huge things in the world. You know that garbage patch we were talking about? The one that's about the size of Rhode Island? It's big. It's big. That garbage patch is big. Big. And there is nothing intelligent about it. It's huge and it's stupid. So if you're going to say things like, "Well, Dan, China's going to be so successful, blah, blah, blah," shut up. Anywho, Ad Astra is terrible. Terrible, terrible. I ended up watching it just because I needed to tell myself how terrible it was, and I'm on a budget these days, so if I rent a movie, I'm doing it on the off chance that it might not be shit. And frankly, I blame myself because if I'd done any research, somebody would have said, "Oh, this is Apocalypse Now." So that's the first rule of Ad Astra. If you've seen Apocalypse Now, you've already seen Ad Astra. Sure, it's a little different, but it's not better. And it's not the same. Actually, Apocalypse Now is a way better movie. So if you want to see the film version of the famous story, The Heart of Darkness, okay, because that's the name of the original story, The Heart of Darkness. if you want to see the film version of that, you're much better, I think, seeing Apocalypse Now. Because, I couldn't buy the characters. Brad Pitt is no Martin Sheen, and what's his name? Oh God, I don't even know his name. He's in so few films now. But the old dude, yeah, I think Marlon Brando's a better Colonel Kurtz than that guy. Tommy Lee Jones, fuck. Listen, Tommy Lee Jones is no Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando played a great Colonel Kurtz. Fucking A. But fucking Tommy Lee Jones, it was like, well, I need to discover alien life out there. Why do we need this? And why the cosmic bursts? And how is this really connected to anything but bullshit? Oh God, don't see the movie Ad Astra. It is fucking terrible. And if you say, well, Dan, I saw the movie and I loved it because I was born in 1995. Fuck you, old man. Okay, fuck you, old man is a good response. I'm okay with that. It's totally appropriate. It's an okay response. Fuck you, old man. Totally get it. Fuck you, old man. Next topic, life is not kind, nor is it linear. Now, I just want you to think about this idea in the weeks and months ahead. We've talked about the great discontinuity. We've talked about this idea that sometimes history enters these periods where all kinds of crazy shit can happen and could happen and might happen. And a lot of it is still about the rules of mathematics and science as we understand it. It's not just magical. If you had a big enough computer, you could probably calculate some of these branches in sequence and make pretty good guesses. But I have a computer that's about so big, I bought it in 2015, and it is not a supercomputer. It is a good computer though. But the point is, if I had a big enough computer and the right model, yeah, in theory, I could make good guesses. But here's the deal, folks. It still is just a guess. And it may be a good guess, but right now I would argue that we're living in a time of general uncertainty in the ability to be certain about anything, which means it's not just that everything's probability, but it may be more the case that even thinking you can make guesses is crazy. There are lots of possibilities at this point. But here's the thing about life that here's something you can cling on to. Cling on to. Klingons, like that shit in your fucking toilet. Stuff that clings to the side. Oh boy, Dan, I don't have that in my toilet. I clean my toilet. Well, you know what I do? I'm kind to nature, so I shower as seldom as I have to. If I'm going to church or to meet somebody, I'll shower. I'll wash my hands. I'm not a nasty, greasy old fuck. But as far as, like, yeah, the toilet goes, I mean, I clean it sometimes. But it's not a clean toilet. When you look into my toilet, what you're seeing is the great darkness. When you look into my toilet, you're looking into the eye of Sauron. When you look into my toilet, you're seeing the infinite pit that Lucifer was cast into. you sure you want to look into my toilet? If you have the courage, take a look. Yeah, I don't know what to say, folks. I don't know what to say, but life is not kind, and I'll tell you this too, and this is the most important part. Whatever you want to say about life, the universe, the natural world, it is, for the most part, and maybe absolutely, not linear. There may be some things in nature that are kind of linear, but that's only because we don't really understand them yet. The things that we kind of understand, for the most part, are just not linear. And they're not linear in general in extremely unforgiving ways, like population collapse, okay? If you have a population of some particular animal in an ecosystem, and for whatever reason, that ecosystem's carrying capacity is impacted, well, you'd say, well, maybe those animals, they slowly degrade and they all decide to, you know, do Planned Parenthood, blah, blah, blah. Listen, folks, whatever you want to believe about this, this is what happens. Populations crash in non-linear ways. So if you look out in the future and say, Dan, I think the human race will reach a stable population of a billion people 300 years from now, I think that's really wishful thinking. No matter what you think about the environment or anything else, to believe that we will reach a stable population 300 years from now is crazy. It's way more likely that we're 50 billion people and covering half the fucking galaxy than it is that we reach a stable population. You know, all things being equal, we're fucking tiger beavers, you fuck. Oh yeah, and we fuck like tiger beavers, which means we fuck all the time. Yeah, so anyways, life is not linear, folks. And if you experience a catastrophe in the mathematical sense, it isn't some slow degradation. It might be at first, and then all of a sudden the bottom falls out. So people who look at the current situation say, well, there are strategies. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to go through a reset. But then, you know, the smart guys will take over and everything will be fine. Maybe. Maybe. That is, to me, wishful thinking. That is fantastical thinking. So what you're saying is the smart people are in hiding, and then when they're no longer in hiding, for whatever bizarre reason, because they now have power, they're going to fix everything. Well, that's a nice belief system, but that's always been the case throughout history. Every new cabal, every new cadre, every fucking revolutionary claims they're going to be better than the last. And guess what? None of them are. But when I look at the human race and nature right now, I don't see linear. Whatever you think is going to happen, there's two things I don't see when I look around. Kindness, don't see that. And I don't see a lot of linear behaviors. So be careful, that's all I'm saying. If you expect nature to be so kind that it will behave in a linear fashion, I think that's wishful thinking. I think that's wishful thinking, yeah. So be prepared for a lack of kindness on the part of nature. And be prepared for things that are not linear. Be prepared for things just falling out from underneath you. I'm sorry, but these are the times. That, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. That's a nice thing to remember these days. Next topic. I was at my credit union the other night. Getting a hold of cash monies for various purposes. You know, going shopping. I gotta go shopping, gotta buy stuff. So I was at my credit union, and I was waiting in line, and I was, and there wasn't even a line, really. It was just that they basically were three people. They had two customers, and these two customers seemed to be doing business at some high level that would take 30 minutes to an hour. And that's fine, folks. I don't care. I mean, really, I don't think these guys were doing anything but just being jackasses, but, you know, they were necessary business. So I was there waiting, and after the first 10 minutes, one of the women came by and said, "Dan, Dan." Actually, she didn't say Dan. Wow, that would have been funny though. She said, "Sir, we're sorry. We're going to be right with you." If she'd said, "Dan, we're going to be right with you," boy, that would have been special. And then about 15 minutes later, another woman comes by and says, "Sir, we're going to be right with you." And I said, "That's okay." And then 20 minutes after that, another woman comes by and says, "Listen, sir, we're so sorry." I said, "Don't worry about it." I said, "Don't worry about it." You know why I said, "Don't worry about it"? Because I kind of like the women at this credit union branch. They're just, I don't know how to describe this. I wouldn't want to date them, but they're just so fucking nice. And so typically, if someone says, "You know, we're sorry," I'll say, "Listen, don't be sorry. These days, it's really, really important. These days, I try not to get disappointed. It's not easy, but one of my goals these days is not to be disappointed. Because if you're disappointed these days, you're going to spend all your fucking time disappointed. Okay? If you expect shit to work, if you expect shit to work, you are already confronting 2020 from the wrong perspective. The way to confront 2020, frankly, at this point, and going back a little and forward, is to expect shit to just kind of not work. And so when it does, when shit does work, you should be delightfully surprised. You know, you should be happy. It's like, holy fuck. This is delightful. Shit just worked. You shouldn't be disappointed. You should be happily, delightfully surprised when stuff does work. Don't treat that as being the normal thing. Treat that as the Christmas gift. You know, when the bus arrives on time, or at least plus or minus 5 minutes? You know, when you order that food at the restaurant and it doesn't taste like 10-year-old dried out fucking beaver vomit? Yeah, you know, if you approach any of this stuff from the perspective of, "Well, I paid my money, so it should work." It's like, wait a minute, back up. First, what money? Did you use gold or silver? Because if you didn't really pay money. You just handed debt from what de from one debt slave to another. That's what you did. You just said, "Here's my debt slave notes. Give me my debt gumbus soup." That's what you did. So don't give me that, "I gave my good money." Your money's not really good anymore. That's one of the rude awakenings that's about to come to the American people. But your money is probably shit. It's just you don't know it yet. You will, though. You will. And like I said, nature is not kind. And if you fuck with it, it's really not kind. And it's definitely not linear if you fuck with it. Yeah. It's definitely like being hit in the back of the head. You know, with a 2x4. That's how I would describe, you know, the situation. I don't want to go too deep into the whole repo push button QE. It's not QE4 bullshit from the Federal Reserve. That's a whole nother topic. But here's what I will say: the shit they're doing, yes, it could very well give us a couple years of unbelievable, and I mean unbelievable economic growth. But what happens in year three will probably feel like a 2x4 to the back of the head. Except everywhere. It won't just be the crappy little flyover states, the hellholes that people in Seattle and San Francisco and New York love to make fun of. It will be everywhere. Now, I'm telling you, if you spend your days being disappointed about shit not working, you will only be disappointed in 2020. On the other hand, when stuff does work and you focus on that, you'll have a few smiles, and those smiles will be meaningful. Be like, you know what? This reminds me of when everything wasn't shit, and this is actually special. So yeah, you know what? That's the way to think of the buses and the food and the waiting for the person at the bank. Don't focus on disappointments. Focus on when stuff kind of works. Next topic. Virginia, Governor Northam declares a state of emergency. Hubba, hubba, hubba. Now that sounds like a lot of bullshit, and I don't even know how much of it is true. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm just saying sometimes politicians will say things like, this is a state of emergency, and it's really not. So, I don't really know if this is a real thing or not, but I will say, the situation with confiscating guns, specifically these dangerous assault weapons in Virginia, is getting interesting. It isn't really to the point yet where I'm believing it's not a PSYOP, but eventually, the thing about PSYOPs and fucking with people, eventually those things can take on a life of their own, you know? I'm just saying, you know, you're back in the 80s handing out Stinger missiles to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, and you're saying to yourself, you know, could this ever come back to bite us in the ass? And it's like, you know what? Yeah, probably, but that's not how we clever monkeys think. We're very smart, just not very wise. Anyways, Governor Northam's doing something right now, and maybe he's doing it as part of some global cabalist plan, and maybe it really is just him being a stupid politician. But I do think he's playing with fire. There are a lot of people out there that are pissed off on a basic level. I don't mean pissed off about the football game. I don't mean pissed off about the job. I don't mean pissed off about not being able to get one of those really tasty chicken sandwiches from Popeyes. Yes, people went crazy over that Popeyes chicken sandwich. But I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm not talking about the Popeyes chicken sandwich. I think what Governor Northam is doing is not very wise. It might be politically advantageous, but it is not very wise. I think he's deliberately turning up the temperature. Maybe he's doing it. Some people would say, like I kind of intimated, Dan, it's the globalists, it's the deep state, it's the Illuminati, it's the Rothschild bankers, it's the State of Israel. They all want a civil war in the United States so that they can come in, swoop in, and take over. Guys, I say this, and I don't think anyone's listening. There are 100 operating nuclear reactors in the United States of America. Most of those are east of the Mississippi. If anybody thinks a little bit of civil war won't do any damage, they're smoking crack. Oh, but Dan, the UN will swoop in with its helicopters and take over the reactors. Well, gee, that makes me feel better. Are these the same rapey soldiers from the places in Africa where they rape people? Because if that's the case, you're probably equally fucked. Yeah, don't tell me about the blue helmets coming in. Listen, if that's the plan they have, the blue helmets come in. Yeah, the blue helmets did not stop a genocide, and it was a genocide, okay, despite what the Southern Poverty Law Center or Anti-Defamation League might say. If the Blue Helmets could not stop the genocide in 1994 in Rwanda, what the fuck do you think they could do with 50 or 60 or 100 million guns in the hands of 50 or 60 of 100 million crazy, angry, sad, delusional Americans? You know, that's not Yugoslavia. That is 25,000 times worse. That is way worse. There is no comparison. It is scales different, okay? And because it's orders of magnitude scale different, all you can say is that maybe directionally that's where it's going, but you have no idea how ugly it could get. So yeah, I don't know what the governor's plan is, but I think it's kind of crazy. Next topic is related to systems of lying and liars. This topic comes up a lot on the Little Saigon Report because I think people should be sensitive to the fact that even if you can identify a lie, it doesn't necessarily tell you what the truth is. However, what is often cool is to identify many lies and then see if you can't glean out some truth. It doesn't mean you know, but at least you can make reasonably good guesses, I think. And we were talking about the metaphysics of being a prisoner, the metaphysics of being trapped. If you are like me and you believe that much or most of the information that's provided in our society is constructed, and that's a really nice way of putting it, then what you're left with is, how do you figure out the truth in an ocean of lies? If all you have every day are lies and lies piled on lies, where do you find the truth? Well, you have to keep track of the lies and the liars. So this is just a reminder that the key to this is basically tracking inconsistency. Okay? For example, one of the reasons why I do get concerned about the situation with the environment is because I've heard two things from the Trump administration. And if you're a woke Trump voter, if you're one of these woke, I was a deplorable Trump voter, please fucking listen, because I'm not talking about anything else other than this. There's other issues too. I know you may think he's doing good, but if the Trump administration issues something, and I've mentioned this before, if they issue a statement saying the Arctic Ocean is now open for business, well, what does that mean exactly? Because when I was a kid, the Arctic Ocean was basically impassable. Okay, it was not open for business because there was permanent ice there. There's very little permanent ice left in the Arctic Ocean, very little. Most of it is this nasty stuff that shows up for a few months a year, but it's not very thick. However, you'll also hear the Trump administration say things like, you'll also hear say, there's never been more Arctic ice. And the thing is, that's not true. So which one is true? Is it true that the Arctic is open for business, or is it true that the Arctic Ocean has never been more frozen? Because they're both not true, folks. They're not. I'm sorry. I know you want to believe in magical, impossible bullshit, but you can have one or the other. And if it's the case that the Arctic Ocean is mostly gone, then you should be scared shitless. Because according to the science we know right now, one of the primary means by which the Earth's environment remains stable is the fucking Arctic. It is the great air conditioner. It's not only that it reflected sunlight and it kind of kept things cool, but it also kept a lot of carbon trapped. A lot of carbon from two or three earlier ice ages. Well, if it's gone, all that carbon's coming up, and the methane and everything else. And if you say, well, Dan, that's no problem. I think right now we're producing about 50 gigatons of CO2 a year or something like that, I think. I think it's something like that, the Earth, the human race, 50 gigatons additional. Let's just say it's 50 gigatons. Methane over a 10-year period is 100 times worse. And if they're afraid of one 50-gigaton burst of methane happening over a period of a few months, they're basically talking about the greenhouse effect of the last 100 years happening over the space of 6 or 7 months. Yeah, that's not very kind, and it's not very fucking linear. And here's the great news, fucks. If you're skeptical, and you look at little Greta Thunberg, and you say, oh, there's little Greta, that must mean global warming is bullshit. Oh my God. You don't understand the purpose of little Greta. Her purpose is to make you believe it is bullshit. Her purpose is to be a little fool, and she is doing a great fucking job. She has basically convinced people to just ignore any concern about the environment. She has done more against any type of real action for the environment since Al Gore. In fact, she's really the new Al Gore. It's like the passing of the torch. Al Gore was a crazy old fuck, but you need a younger, kind of hipper fucking Al Gore. You got Greta fucking Thunberg. But folks, as I've said in the past, people, tyrants don't hire fools to make funny things funnier. They don't do you fucking favors. They don't give you an extra fucking laugh. When a tyrant hires a fucking fool, it's to take something that's really probably deadly serious and make it seem like a fucking joke. So which is true? Is it true that there's never been more Arctic ice because this has come out of the Trump administration? Or is it true that the Arctic is open for business, which also has come out of the Trump administration? Which one of these is true? Because they can't both be true. And it's just something, I'm sorry if I get a little bit, spun up by this. But folks, you know what the really great news is? If you're one of these people that thinks there's no way that we can fuck up the Earth, I think next summer you can call bullshit on Guy McPherson and Dane Wigington and all the freaks. Because last summer was nasty. The summer before was almost, but again, not in a linear way. No, not in a kind way. I expect this summer to be terrible. Oh, by the way, the little snowpocalypse. Yeah, that snow's all gone. And it was like really warm yesterday in a weird, fucked up way. Like, I don't know if it was 60. According to Dane, they lie about temperature reporting. So I don't know if it was 60 degrees yesterday, but it felt like 60. Oh, no, please tell me how fucking normal this shit is. Please, please, please. Dan, it's normal. It's normal. It's normal. Maybe, but I grew up here, people, and this shit is not normal. Whatever you want to fucking call it. Next topic. Oh, what is the next topic? I was going to talk about. I was going to apologize. I didn't do any interviews for the 300 episodes. Fuck. Debt is impossible. I'm going to save that for another day. I think debt is impossible, to tell you the truth. So I'm going to move some of these topics. In fact, I'm going to move. I'm sorry I'm talking about it, though. I'm going to move some of these topics, except for one. Except for one. I'm gonna be all clever about this bullshit. Yeah, I got a little heated there, people, but I guess I'm worried. Because when I listen to this Greta shit, it just has me thinking that, well, frankly, given what I know about the history of tyrants and tyranny and the way that, the way that these authoritarian systems work, when you see a Greta and she's telling you to be worried, but she's a clown, then probably you should be worried. If you see a clown and the clown is saying, this is something to be concerned about, then probably you should be. Because they don't, if it's, I keep saying this, they're not in the business of making things funnier that are funny. They're really not. But they are in the business of confusing you. And the only message I get from Greta is don't worry about the climate because it's so fucking stupid. The whole message is so stupid. How could you fucking take it seriously? Something to think about. And last but not least, I thought it was important to talk about freedom a bit before we go because some people might think, oh, well, then Dan's a greenie and a communist. No, I'm not. I'm actually an anarchist. Who gives a shit about the soil and the water and the air? Am I the perfect person when it comes to the environment? No, I don't know anybody that is. I really don't. I would probably compare my carbon footprint with anybody, but that only means it's because I live rough. I don't have a lot of carbon other than the fucking carbon around my belly. And that's a carbon sink. So if you're gonna talk about obesity, that's a carbon store. I can have myself charred and converted and turned into compost. I am a carbon sink. So if I lose weight, I'm actually hurting nature. I think that humans need, clean water, clean air to live, and we need clean soil to grow healthy food. But if you think that's all we need, I think you're also confused. Just as important as those three things is liberty. it's actually one of the things I think that's kept us in check. Like, if you say, Dan, what went awry? Well, I think one of the things that went awry was this belief that we were good at controlling each other. Like, I think that's the thing that really went sideways. When we started believing we could become really good at controlling each other, that's when things went really out of whack. And we had the last basically 100 years of this bullshit of thinking we can spend all day controlling each other. That control is probably what's killing the earth, and that control is probably what's killing us. It's kind of like I read this article today on Zero Hedge, and it was about the United Nations complaining about slowbalization, slow economic growth. And in the same fucking article, the UN is mentioning climate change, and I want to fucking pull my hair out. Okay? In what fucking universe does stacking clever monkeys lead to less greenhouse gases? The answer is none. And I don't care how electrical you get, I don't care what you do with science. If you stack 7 or 8 or 20 billion clever monkeys on planet Earth, you will fuck the planet. And it requires nothing but common sense to recognize that. There's a lack of common sense, though, isn't there? But yeah, the same fucking article, same fucking goofballs. And this is the progressive mentality, is that they'll say things like, we gotta do something about the environment, and then they'll start quoting fucking Paul Krugman and talking about modern monetary theory, and in their heads, they can't fucking connect the dots. Like, shit. You know, if we do all this debt leverage crap, we're gonna have more clever monkeys. We'll have more clever monkeys doing more clever monkey shit. And no matter how clean their shit is, 200 times the clever monkey shit will still be worse. They don't wanna understand that their addiction to government is killing the planet. Their addiction to debt is killing the planet. They don't wanna believe it. They will take out a loan to fund an to They will fund an NGO, probably. They'll fund an NGO by taking out a loan to save the planet. And then they'll take out another loan to buy a building for their NGO to save the planet. And no one will ask the question, what just happened? Well, those are basically holds on future economic production. And if that production is not greater than a certain amount, then that debt is meaningless. However, if you spend a lot of money you don't have, you get a lot of extra clever monkeys and they're buying shit and paying taxes and using credit cards and farting and fucking and feeding and pooping and shitting and peeing their way till the planet is a giant toilet bowl. Yeah. If you're an environmentalist, and you're a Keynesian, you are catastrophically, stupidly confused. In fact, you're so fucking confused, you're just plain stupid. You can be a Keynesian and believe in cornucopia Earth, or you can be an environmentalist and realize there are limits. But what you can't be is a Keynesian and a fucking environmentalist at the same time. Not without a lot of mental gymnastics that really boggle the fucking mind. Really. Here's what I'm going to tell you, and you need to listen before we end this podcast because it's critical. Whatever happens with the environment, whatever happens with the election next year, the end of human liberty, the reduction of human freedom, is an extinction-level event for people. You can tell me all kinds of things. Well, no, Dan, we can migrate and have chips installed. You need to listen to your own fucking shit the more you talk. The end of human liberty, the end of human individuality, the end of freedom is the end of the fucking human race. It is an extinction level event. Just as bad as climate change, just as bad as any of this other stuff, at least as far as humans go. And in my view, it will probably coincide with a lot of other creatures dying too. Just because right now the most likely extinction level event for the human race will be caused by government. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if this modern monetary theory becomes the next rage for, the next couple years. I truly don't know how much longer this nonsense can last, but it will last until it doesn't. And when it turns on you, nature will not be kind and nature will not be fucking linear. That is one of the things to keep in mind. If you say, well, Dan, the economy looks great, everything is great, it is great. Wiley, everything's great. Your feet are still moving underneath you. You got a fucking smile on your face. You're going to get that Roadrunner. Except there's no ground underneath you, but just move your feet faster. Just move your feet faster, Wiley. Just pump your legs a little faster there, Wiley, and somehow you'll survive falling off the cliff. You can have whatever opinion you want about this other stuff, nature, the oceans, the climate, but if we lose human liberty, we're dead. I mean, you might still have people walking around, but they won't be humans, they'll be something else. And it's another way of saying that the last human beings might be alive today. The last human beings that will ever live might be alive today, because if we get this hyper-statism nonsense, put a chip in my fucking brain so I can go buy food at Whole Foods. Nah, I don't think I'll be doing that. Yeah, I think the human race is going extinct because it believes it can do something it should have never tried to do in the first place. I think the human race is going extinct because it believes it can control each other. It believes it can control itself. Actually, that is a lack of control. That is a lack of understanding. You know, the human race is going extinct, yes, because we're stupid about ourselves. We think we're fuzzy, nice things. We're really just monstrously damaging predators. We're tiger beavers with a lot of crazy, but we like to pretend we're something else. Oh, we're just nice little gazelles going through the meadow, nibbling on flowers. No, you're not. You're not. You're not. You're not. You're not any of those things you think you are that Disney tells you you might be. You are the most vicious fucking predator that the earth has ever seen. Period. Unless you count bacteria in the category predator, which often I kind of do in some ways. Unless you count bacteria, we are the most dangerous predator that's ever come along to our knowledge. Unless, of course, the other extinctions that occurred, the other five, were caused by the same thing. And there are days, I've mentioned this, where I wonder, in my heart, could it be the same stupidity over and over again? Yeah, different creatures, you know. This time it's humans, tiger beavers. The last time it could have been something else. Could have been the fucking reptilians. Who the fuck knows? Could have been the salmon people. The fish people. Who the fuck knows? But I will tell you this much. What if every extinction wasn't caused by a fucking asteroid? Not by a virus? Not by any... No. Clever bullshit caused the extinctions. Lots of clever bullshit. Oh, we're so fucking clever. We're the salmon people of the year 5566. Never have people like the salmon people arose into such wisdom and intelligence. The salmon people will soon learn to harvest the proteomic atom. We will convert Glimbus juice into sartonic acid so that we can attain a level of salmon existence that salmon deserve. Because we're the salmon people. Yeah, I don't know, folks, but here's what I will say. I think that the humans are killing themselves. I think we're killing each other. We just don't even understand why. I think I do. I think you could. If you just really reflected on this, you'll understand why. We do not do well in captivity, folks. We don't do well in captivity. We don't behave well in captivity. And we don't solve problems very well in captivity. The only thing we learn to reason about in captivity is, you know, captivity. We learn to optimize the prison. And if you think that's functional for a planet, for a life system, for an ecosystem, to have weird, clever tiger beavers that have optimized their existence to living in a fucking prison, folks, like I say, you know, nature's not kind, it's not linear, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Of course, there is a solution. It's called waking up. And I don't mean being woke. I mean being reflective. If you're a camper, that goes camping and you tell people, leave no trace, leave no trace. If you're a camper and you wear a shirt that says leave no trace, then maybe your whole life should start being like that. Your whole fucking life. I mean everything. And if you say, well, Dan, it's impossible, then yeah, you might be right, and you're only really, you know, fueling things here. It might be impossible, but try it. See if you can. I don't know if I'm doing a very good job because I live in a city. It's almost impossible to do it here. So if you live in a city, maybe it is impossible. But if you own your own place in a city, maybe not. Okay, you can stop having a lawn. If you think lawns are cool, if you think pouring Roundup bullshit on your fucking green shit, that's not cool. Lawns suck. Lawns are stupid. Lawns promote a kind of lifestyle that is inherently destructive and at odds with nature. It's a monoculture. Rewild. Rewild. Study what's supposed to be here and plant it in your fucking yard in the city. And if you say, well, Dan, I'm in a housing, an HOA, a homeowners association, then you need to protest that bullshit. If your HOA is telling you the wisest thing for a Seattleite to do is to pour nasty-ass Monsanto gumbus onto a fucking lawn, then you need to stand up for what's right. It might be okay for one goddamn clever monkey with 100 square miles to pour Monsanto gumbus on its fucking yard. It is probably not rational or okay for a million fucking people in King County to do that. Just something to think about, folks. Are there things you can do if you own a house in Seattle? You can try to disconnect from that whole fucking sewer system. You can try to disconnect from that, too. You can try to disconnect from dumping your poop down the hole or figure out another way. I don't know. It's hard. We may have doomed ourselves. What if we've gotten ourselves into what's called the Red Queen Syndrome? At this point, we can't afford to live in cities. We can't afford not to. We can't afford to keep the urban bullshit going. We can't afford not to. If that's the case, like I said, C1, nature, or C2. The point is, see the point about nature not being kind and not being linear. Nature's not kind. Nature's not linear. Not at all. So I don't care how you feel about global warming, but this lawn stuff, I gotta say, I gotta put my foot down on this. In my opinion, this lawn stuff is bullshit. There are many ways to use that ground that is less damaging to the streams and the waters. But, you know, you can say, Dan, how can I do that? I can't fix that, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. Add this to the reasons why. When I see stupid-ass documentaries from Como, titled Seattle's Dying, and some jackass from a neighborhood where everybody pours poison on their lawn is complaining about homeless people, add this to reasons I don't take that shit fucking seriously. I don't. Go fuck yourself, asshole from Magnolia. You probably spend the whole fucking summer pouring poison on the fucking... I use organics. Okay. Do I need to teach this fucking class again? There is no kind of chemical, I don't care how fucking natural you think it is, that a million people can pour on their fucking lawns and not cause a fucking problem. It doesn't exist. You can use vinegar, people. You could use vinegar on everything. And if everybody in Seattle is dumping vinegar down their fucking sewers all day, that too will probably cause a fucking problem. Because ultimately, it's not just about what you do. It's how much of it you do. If you enjoy this podcast, which I can't see how you would since I just got done yelling at you, if you enjoy being yelled at, you might, in fact, be what's referred to on Pornhub as submissive. If you enjoy being yelled at by me and you paid for your home, water, shelter, all your clever tiger, monkey, beaver bullshit, if you've helped out all your tiger, beaver friends, no matter how crazy they are, if your tiger, beaver existence is working for you and you still have money left over, and you enjoy this podcast, like any good Tiger Beaver would, then you can donate. There'll be a link to Venmo and PayPal in the description of this podcast and on my SoundCloud homepage. And you can donate. You can support this operation. And for this Friday, January the 17th, 2020, thank God it's Friday. For this Friday, I say to all of you out there, take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves, take care of your French bulldogs. You don't know when you'll need them. Take care of yourself. Take care of all the things you can. Take care of your woman. Take care of your man. Have a great one.